All right, so again, nice to share with you this afternoon through the third Sunday of Fear Factor. And for those who, I know some of you weren't here last week, so a very brief highlight, what we did is we looked at quite a bit of scripture, looking at the fear of God, fear of what comes upon the world, looking at the definition of what fear is, and over 344 times the word fear not is in the Bible. Do you agree that that is a huge emphasis that God is saying to us as children, do not fear? 344 times, and over 144 times the Bible speaks about fear God, fear the Lord. There's a huge emphasis on what it means to live in two. You can only live in one camp. You either fear God, all right, or you live in the fear of the world. Live under what's, maybe we spoke about last week, the Adamic headship, the Adamic nature. Remember, and then we obviously spoke quite a bit around what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Stephen, if you remember, I spoke about the Adamic headship. Now, the wages of sin, what does Romans say? The wages of sin is death. Do you agree that's punishment? Okay. In Genesis chapter 3, God drove Adam and Eve from his presence. Do you know Cain, later in Genesis chapter 4, was driven from God's presence? Do you know that? Which we will maybe talk about. Hi, Ian and Carol. And we looked at this thing that the moment Adam and Eve left, you read through Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 6, Adam and Eve had children, then died. They had children, then died. So the common thread from the time of the fall is death. You agree? And here's the most incredible thing. What has Christ come to do? He's come, first of all, 1 John says, to destroy the work of the devil. So if I said to you, what is the work of the devil? What would you say that is? Steal, kill, and destroy. He does it through deception. He does it through lies. He does it through intimidation. How did he come to steal, kill, and destroy from Adam and Eve? He lied to them. You agree? He deceived them. He told them half the truth. He said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He just forgot to tell the other story, is that it's going to kill you and everyone born after you. You see, it's so the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I came to destroy the work of the enemy. And he's obviously done that through the cross. For those who weren't here last week, it's quite incredible that there's over 500 recorded phobias in the world. 500 medical recorded phobias. But do you know, we don't have to even worry about those 500. We just got to go to the root. Where did the fear that came upon man, where did the spirit of fear and intimidation come in? Through? Through? Satan. In the Garden of Eden. You agree? Very brief highlight. An emotion, a feeling. Adam and Eve. Adam turned around and he said, I heard your voice, and this time I ran, for I was afraid of you. And God said, why are you afraid? Why are you hiding? Have you eaten of the fruit that you were not supposed to eat of? Because suddenly, Adam and Eve were without shame, and they were naked. They took of the fruit, and now they were shameful, feeling shame and naked. But who showed them they were naked? Sin. Their eyes were opened. And here's a very interesting thing. When God turns around and he says in the Godhead, he says, Adam and Eve has become like us. I want you to listen to this. Turns around, he says, God the Father turns around to the Son and to the Spirit. He says, man has become like us, knowing good and evil. Amazing. Here's the thing. Man now knew what evil was, the consequence of it. He fell in it with no one to save him. No one to get him out of that. And this incredible decay entered humanity. And that's why it is the most gracious move of God when he put cherubim around a tree of life. And he said to Adam and Eve, I'm going to drive you from this place, because if you stretch your hand out and lay hold of that tree, you'll remain in an unredeemed state for eternity. It was a gracious move of God, drove them out, and from there began humanity's call on the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 5, it's the last verse, it says this. It says, at that time, what was that time? After humanity had fallen from the presence and intimacy with God, that very image made in the likeness of God, that image had been fractured, that image had been damaged. And it said, at that time, they began to call on the name of the Lord. What does Acts say? Those who call shall be. There starts this incredible journey and road of God redeeming mankind to one day there would be a tree of life that you and me could extend our hands and touch and live for ever. What was that tree? The cross. Incredible, huh? This whole redemption of God on humanity. Last week we looked at the three different types of fear. Please do not confuse natural instinctive fear. You know, that fear when you're about to put your finger into a socket of electricity. Okay? That's not the fear. That's called wisdom. Okay? That's what God gives, an instinctive awareness that you're doing something that is dangerous. Okay, please, that's wise. You touch electricity, it's going to assault you. You look at the other fear, which is the crippling effect. When Paul says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, who gave the spirit of fear? Satan to Adam. There is a spirit of fear. We in Christ do not have that spirit of fear. You agree? The world is governed by that spirit. You know, so I've met with many people, and you look into their eyes as they have this total crippling effect of the fear of death. It literally cripples them. They are immobilized, they are isolated, they are paralyzed. They cannot do anything with this fear that comes upon them. Because here's an interesting thing. Do you know that's a fear that will remain until God deals with it one day in heaven? Because the wages of sin is death. God has to punish sin, and one day will be the ultimate death, the lake of fire. We must never play around with an understanding that God will not tolerate sin. You agree? He is a holy, holy, holy God. But here's a wonderful thing. When you look in Luke chapter 12, and Jesus is saying, please don't worry about the person who can kill your body. Don't worry about him. That's not the one you're to fear. The one you are to fear is the one who has the power to destroy both soul and body in hell forever. Now, as born-again believers, that message is not for us. Okay? You know why? Because God's already punished someone. Isaiah says, the punishment that was due Rudy and due me, due you, was put on Christ, and God, listen to this, was pleased to crush him. Look at that. This is incredible. God was pleased to crush Jesus so you and me go free. Penalty paid for. So if Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan, and he did it on the cross with the Father crushing him, why as born-again believers do we live a life of perpetual fear and entanglement? Amen? That's lovely. You're right. We spoke last week about the regeneration of a mind, Romans chapter 12, coming into agreement with the kingdom. And then we looked at the fear of God. We looked at definitions, but what I want to do is we've got an hour and 10 minutes. We finish at 6. I'm not going to go through any of the blessings and privileges that we live in with the fear of God. Please do go through that. I think it'll be very helpful. But I would like you to turn to, first of all, Jeremiah chapter, it's the last one on your page, Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 39. When the Holy Spirit showed the scripture to me, I must be honest with you, I was so excited when I saw this. Because what I'm going to, after the scripture, what I'm going to talk about is living in the intimacy and the presence of God. Could I say this? Fear and faith can never, ever live in the same camp. Do you know that? They cannot. They are diametrically opposed to the purposes of God and to the plans of God. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 39. Let's read together, please. Jeremiah 32, verses 39. Let's go here. "And I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that it will all go well with them for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me." Guys, if you ever doubt the goodness of God, could I ask one thing? Can God lie? When God cuts covenant, is that covenant reversible? He says, "I will make a..." Kind of like the same word, but once covenant's made, covenant's cut. So that's got a lot to do. Once covenant is made, can God reverse that? Do you ever have to pray for Jesus to come back and take us? Why? Amen. Fantastic. So God just said there, "I will make a covenant with you. I will never stop doing good to you." You see, here's an interesting thing. You approach God's goodness on two ways. Okay? You stand in the Garden of Eden and you say, "God, Lord Jesus Almighty, thank you for every tree you've given me." And you're not interested in the fact that he's told you to stay away from that tree. You're not interested in that little tree. You want all the trees God's given you. Amen? Or you live in the camp where Satan comes into your ear and he says, "Why is God holding out from you? Why is God not giving you that tree?" Amazing. He singles out the one thing, makes out that God's holding back from you, that he's not a good God, that he's not a generous God. Meanwhile, Satan didn't mention it. "Oh, but by the way, you've got every other tree you want." He comes and says, "Yeah, but God's holding back on you. God's holding out. Why? Is he a good God?" So you either look through the lenses of, "God, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm not married, I don't have children, I don't have a job, I don't have this." Or you can say, "God, I'm alive. I have a family, I have a community." You either look at the many trees or you look at the one tree you don't and not allowed to have. Amen. You see, that's your choice. You'll look at one of them. Because again, one takes faith. Fear is, "God, why are you holding out on me? Why are you holding out?" Fear. Faith is, "God, you've given me everything. Thank you for your goodness and generosity." Amen. So what Satan came in is he came in and he got Adam and Eve to focus on the one tree God said no to. And Eve's like, "Yeah, but yeah, why, God, why would you hold out to me? Don't you want me to be like you, knowing good and evil?" Let me say this. When God's cut covenant, and by your own admission today, you've said he can never lie. So if God has said to you, "I will never stop doing good to you," do you believe it? So when there's some things that God says, "My son, my daughter, I'm going to say no to that." Do you know that's the goodness of God? "My son, my daughter, I'm going to say no to you stretching your hand onto that tree of life for eternity. I'm going to drive you from here for now, but I'm going to start to work a plan. I'm going to start to redeem that which was lost." You see, because that comes down to this thing again of faith is, "God, I know you have my best at your heart. You will never stop doing good for me. I'm going to wait with faith and patience." Two things inherit the promise. Faith and patience inherits the promises of God. You may have faith. I think as modern day Christians, do we struggle on the latter? Patience. Fear, be careful, fear starts to come in. Fear of, "God, why are you holding out on me?" Fear of missing out. There's that wonderful FOMO. Have you heard that that fear. It's called fear of missing out. Okay? That can happen. And what happens is you've got the faith, you believe, but your timing and God's timing generally is never the same thing. Why? Because His timing is perfect. He will never stop doing good to you. Could I say this? If you woke up today doubting God's goodness, I trust Jeremiah 32 will resolve your matter forever. If you believe He's made covenant and you believe that God can never lie, then you'll have to say that God will continue doing good to you. But here's the maturity. Here's the faith. God's goodness and your goodness is not necessarily the same thing. What you believe you want for your life and what you should have, God may have a complete different viewpoint. And this is the faith thing. You're my Father. You know best. And I submit to that. That's faith. Faith has been sure of what we? What's the definition of faith? Faith has been sure of what we? And certain of what we? What does fear do? Brandon, what does fear do? Hundred percent. And do you believe that you see, that's the spirit that is upon this world. There is no hope. There is no assuredness. There is no confidence. Man, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we built on the rock, it doesn't matter what Hiroshima happens. It doesn't matter what planet, this planet gets shaken. Christ is the immovable rock. And if we've built on Him, is there anything that we fear in that storm? Should not do. Right. That is a scripture that I would love you to meditate on, that Jeremiah 32. Because I can tell you now, what the first thing the enemy wants to do is doubt God's goodness. Amen. He wants to doubt God's. If God loved you, why did that child die? If God loves you, why are you single? If God loves you, why did you get divorced? If God loves you, why are you unemployed? On and on. He just keeps hitting flaming arrows into your mind. You see, and that's why it's so important to understand God has cut covenant and He will never stop doing good to you and me. Even in my natural mindset, if I can't understand why something has happened, and let's be honest, we've all gone through moments, and all of us to different degrees. Who's ever asked God the question, why? Be honest, put up your hand. Why, God, did you allow that? You know, when I was on Machalis Park, and my wife and I, we were there with Katie's mom. And I remember just sitting with Nathan, chilling in the timeshare unit, the lodge. Katie and her mom went off to go to the shops and whatever. And I'll never forget, my wife came running back crying. And she just said, a baby boy is just drowned in the pool. Do you know there was an anger that rose up in me? And I felt it was a righteous anger, and I ran. It was about nearly a kilometer. And I ran from there, and there was something in me. And I got there, and there was like 100 people gathered around this baby boy. It was about 4 or 5 years of age, the boy. So not a baby, maybe about 4. And they gathered around, and I remember arriving there. Oh, my goodness. The fear of man gripped me. The fear of man gripped me. And I was faced with the fear of man, or I was faced with believing God and stepping out and trusting Him. Do you know, I went up to the man, the paramedic, and I just said, sir, I know you've done everything you can. Is it possible if I could please pray and trust for resurrection life here? It's amazing that the place went deathly silent. You've got 100 people looking. And it's like, good Lord Jesus, if this is the moment to arrive, please, this is your moment. Okay? Lord, do you just raise this? You raise him, I'll preach. We'll save 100 oaks here on the spot. Okay? Because one thing you can't do is deny resurrection power. You know, it's interesting. I won't have time to talk about it now. But Lazarus, after he was raised from the dead, do you know that the Pharisees came to kill him again? They came to kill Jesus, and they came to kill Lazarus. Why? Because when a human body is raised 4 days later from a hot, stinky Israel tomb, You cannot deny that this man has resurrection power. Because there's a Jewish custom about 3 days and 4 days. I won't talk about that now. But by 4 days, you're regarded as stone dead. Okay? That's why God waited deliberately to make sure it was 4 days. And he came and raised Lazarus from the dead. All right? You can't deny resurrection power. So here I'm sitting by the pool, and I get down on my knees, and I start praying, and I tell you, there was something that came over my life. And you guys think the story is going to end well. Let me say it doesn't. Doesn't end well for me. Because after praying, I got up, put the silver blanket back over his face, and I walked back. And somehow I managed to slip out the crowd. Don't know how I did it. I slipped out and I walked back. Do you know how totally despondent I was as I walked back? And I said, Jesus, you've told me to go lay hands on the dead. You've told me to go raise them in your name. That was your moment. And I tell you, I began a journey with my wife. Why God? How could you? Why did you let that happen? And I tell you, it's a very dangerous place. Amen? Man, yo, Satan jumps onto that gravy train, I promise you. And he goes for it. Sorry, Ian, did you say resurrection power? Did you say you're saved? Maybe you're not saved. Because saved people raise people from the dead. You start questioning your salvation. You start questioning the goodness of God. You start questioning everything about what you've believed for so many years. And I tell you, there starts this journey. Faith in patience inherits the promises. Satan will always go and attack the goodness of God. That's what you've got to guard, and that's what you've got to fight. Remember, he's cut covenant. I'll never stop doing good to you. I agree, my understanding of good would have been to raise him from the dead. Amen? I'm not sure why. I think there was a lot at play with 100 people around. There was a lot happening in the spirit realm. But whatever it is, put it this way. All things God will turn to good. All things. Some things I can't reconcile. And can I say this as well? It's okay to live totally free. You and me are not necessarily always going to reconcile our understanding of goodness in God's. Do you know that? Sometimes we're not. And that's the walk of faith. That's God, you know better. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. You see, when we are... Do you know the fear of God is a baptism? Did you know that? Do you know to live in the fear of God is to be baptized in God? It's to be so submerged, so filled with the Holy Spirit. Because here's something interesting. Let's read scripture first. Let's lay our foundation. Isaiah 11. We're going to read together. In fact, I would appreciate if Hilton could read. Have you got... nice to just get it to share on there. Isaiah chapter 11. Please go to the end of verses 3. Listen to these words.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord.
That's fine. Amen. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever considered that when Jesus was praying, I'm just going to put a phone here. When Jesus was praying in the baptism, out of all the Gospels, I think it's Luke, that says when Jesus was in the river, he was praying. What was he praying for? Isaiah chapter 11. Praying Isaiah chapter 11. This is the sevenfold baptism of the Spirit. In the book of Revelations, you will hear where John the Revelator writes around the seven spirits around the throne of God. The sevenfold spirit. This, in other words, seven being the perfect completeness of God. Here, Isaiah chapter 11, Jesus is praying for the perfect infilling of the sevenfold baptism of the Spirit. Do you know there's no difference to you and me and him? Do you know that to live in the fear of God is to be living in a baptism of the Spirit of God. Another way you can exchange that baptism is living from His presence. Living from intimacy. You see, Rudy, when you are saturated with the Holy Spirit in faith, is there place for fear? I'm going to refer back to Jeremiah 32, and I'm trying to string a roadmap that we can follow each other on, because it's my mind is all over the place, always thinking of things. So please do forgive me on that. When Jeremiah 32 says, I will give them singleness of heart. Rory, what does that mean to you if God says, I want to give you singleness of heart? Yeah. Hey, I love that. Listen to those words. A zone with God alone in His presence. Can I tell you the problem that you and me face? Is that our hearts are not single. I'm the first to admit it. And it's something I need to keep praying for. Is that I have a bit of God, and then I have a bit of this, and I have a bit of this, and I have a bit of this. And what happens? Something is continuously filling us. Do you know that deep cries out to deep? You know that scripture. Do you know spirit calls out to spirit? You know that scripture. All right? Do you know that that has to happen because God has written eternity in your heart and my heart? What are we crying out for then? We're crying out for something that is eternal, unseen, not of this world. The problem is, there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. We're either filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember, again, I've got to talk about experiential and I've got to talk about legal, which we touched on last Sunday. When you come to Christ, you have the Spirit within you. Okay? You have the deposit, Ephesians, the deposit of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot belong to Christ without the Spirit of Christ. All right, that's your adoption. That is your seal. Ephesians says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're a son or daughter. Amen. It cannot be reversed. Let me tell you right now, if you're struggling around the certainty and the assurance of your salvation, I trust today that that fear breaks, because when you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, it is irreversible. You're a son or daughter forever. The only difference is, do you live as a mature son or daughter, or do you live in the pigsty? It doesn't matter if you live in the house or in the pigsty, you'll always remain a son. Amen. The sonship never changes. Your inheritance, your fruitfulness is directly related to your submission to the Holy Spirit. That's it. If you want to lay hold of the things of God, Romans 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, weos, those are the mature sons of God, they lay hold of the promises. You remember Galatians I spoke about? There's no difference between the slave and an infant child. So take, for example, my little Caitlin there. Amazing. Paul says in Galatians, there's no difference to Caitlin or to a slave at that age. She cannot execute the will of the father on the estate. When the child grows up and walks into maturity, they lay hold of the promises of God and they are able to execute the will of God. What does Jesus say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is born out of a sonship-father relationship. But does Caitlin know my will? Does Caitlin know what I want? Is she my daughter? Okay. So there's a time. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. Mature sons and daughters know the will of the Father. And that comes with maturity. And that comes with growing in our salvation. If Philippians says, work out your salvation with fear and... Let me tell you. We need to meditate on that, guys. Work out your salvation. If your salvation is not fear and trembling, I've got to ask you, what are you working out? Because this salvation is an incredible, incredible thing. You have a relationship with a living God that one day you'll see on the throne, and this time you'll live. So in other words, this salvation, this mindset is, how am I working my salvation out for one day when I stand before Him? I always love to put this word into my mind. Is what's going to be my first word when I see Jesus on His throne? What's going to be my first word? I think that goes without saying. Is it going to be, but God, sorry, listen, by the way, on that thing, yeah, listen, we slipped that one past the goalkeeper. You know, could I say this? This salvation is a holy thing. It's a very, very high calling. Paul talks about it. He says, I pray that God will make you worthy of the calling you have received. Guys, this calling is of great, great, great value. So expensive that it cost Jesus his life. What value do you place on the blood of Christ? What incremental value, what numeric value could you even place on the eternal Son's blood? That's how much this calling meant to God to get you and me worthy and ready for it. Amen. How can we let these little fears trip us up? Hey, how can we let these things hold us back? Okay, Isaiah 11, as we've said, this was a baptism. John, Jesus in the Jordan, praying. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. Sonship, this is my son, whom I love, affirmation, with him I'm well pleased. Jesus launches off his ministry, knowing he's a son, knowing he's loved, and knowing he is has a father who's pleased without doing one thing. What pleases God? Not works. Not works. Faith in his son pleases him. Simple. When God looks at you and goes, now there's a son, there's a daughter who believes in my son. Because when you believe in the son, you've got to believe in the eternal heart of the father. The two cannot be separated. Because when you see the son, you go, what type of father would send his son to come and save me? Man, that father must be good. Amen. This is when you see the son, Jesus says, you see the father. Isaiah 11, as we said, and I want to encourage you to deal with the spirit of fear. And let me be honest. There are things in our lives that hamper us, that trip us up, that hold us back. And to a certain extent, we have different measures of it. But only you know what cripples you. So if I had to ask Bronwyn, you don't have to say it now, but Bronwyn, do you know what cripples you in fear that paralyzes you and stops you from walking into what God has? You know what it is? Do you believe Jesus wants to break it? You know where it's going to break? Total submission and immersion in the Spirit. Reading 50 scriptures a day will not break it. Let me tell you straight. Reading 50 scriptures a day will not break it. One moment in the presence of God breaks it. Now, do I believe in scripture? Absolutely. Because in the reading of scripture, my spirit comes alive. And what happens is I start to encounter the living word, not the written word. Who makes a word go from black and white on paper to living? The Spirit of God. Only he can bring a revelation and goes, you know when you've read a scripture and you've read it, and the next moment you read it and something just comes alive. Who's ever encountered that? Beautiful thing. Those who are taking notes, Exodus 20:20, I find this to be, well, I would say this. This was the downfall of the nation of Israel. Do you know the downfall of the nation of Israel wasn't because of their challenges, wasn't because of their slavery mentality that God wanted to unteach them in the wilderness? Can I tell you what? Very good, Bronwyn. It's unbelief. Do you know where it stems from? From an unwillingness to engage in intimate presence with God. Exodus 20:20, listen to this. It says that when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and the smoke, they trembled with fear. They stood at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning." The people, you want to hear the heartbreak? This is the heartbreak of God. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Incredible that so many of us are fearful of God's presence. The Israelites said, that thick darkness where God was, I mean, they acknowledged God was there, and it's thick darkness. They were afraid to go there, so they remained aloof. Yeah. Okay, here's interesting. Look what happened. Moses goes in to the thick darkness. What happens in that thick darkness? Transformed, radiant, free, liberated, courage, boldness, set free. Israelites remained aloof. If the Spirit of God does not fill them, who is going to fill them? Something has to fill you, because why? You're made with eternity in heart. Spirit cries out to Spirit. So what happened is, Moses goes up the mountain in the presence of this so-called dreadful darkness. His face is getting transformed as he beholds God. What did Israel do? Something's got to fill you, so they decided to invest in a golden calf. They had to worship something. Do you agree? Yes. You and me were made to worship. They have to worship something. They don't want to go into that dreadful darkness. So dreadful. They remained aloof, and what happened is idolatry. Something else filled them. And in essence, they died. Guys, I want to encourage you. The moment you're fearful to go into God's presence and to engage God, two things have happened. You're living in shame, you're living in guilt, and you're living under condemnation. That's the place the enemy wants you to be in. Do you know that's the very opposite of God is? Run. Run into me. Run into the so-called thick darkness and see how you're transformed. You changed. You live in freedom. What does Corinthians say? When what we worship, what we behold, we will be transformed into that likeness of Jesus. Most incredible thing. You want to break fear? It's very simple. Be submerged in the Spirit of God. Be filled with His presence. Do you know that? Let me say this as well. I said last week, I promise you now, the spirit of fear will not leave you easily. It doesn't want to let go of you. You know why? Because when there's a spirit of fear, it entangles you, it trips you, and it immobilizes you. Who's ever felt totally immobilized for God? I'll tell you, there's been moments when I felt totally impotent, totally immobile for God. And when you trace it back, it's simply this. I was living in the fear that God would punish me because of my shortcomings. I remained aloof. Something has to fill me. And the spirit of fear did. Something has to fill me. And there's something I've had to learn. And I'm continuing to learn. And I keep learning. Actually, when you fail, that is the perfect time you run into God's presence. And you stand there and say, "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that there is no guilt and shame and condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, Dad, Father, I want to say I'm sorry for what I did. That's living way below the sonship, that mature son and daughter you've called me to live in and to execute your will on planet Earth. But I'm saying sorry from a position of you, my Father. Not that you will love me. You already love me. You see, what a difference that is, hey? Total difference. You know, I've heard people say, do Christians have to repent? Well, the way I like to ask that is, do you ever have to say sorry to your wife? Does your wife ever have to say sorry to you? Roy, just check, is that thunder coming? I sense there's a lightning bolt coming. Shall I move out the way here? Well, Eve took the fruit. And Let me say this. There's my covenant of marriage. You agree? Everyone, look at your ring. There's your covenant. Why do you say sorry? You're human. And it's okay to say sorry. Hey, sorry. No, I didn't actually mean it like that. I'm saying your name. You see, you never, ever have to worry about the covenant that God's made with you. You're going nowhere fast. You're never going to be removed from His family. Amen. I tell you, as Christians, if we can sort this out, I reckon 90% of our problems in churches will be resolved. Do you know that the major problems that we have in the church globally is because of an identity crisis? That's really what it is. Because when I know I am who I am in God, I'm not going to have to strive. I'm not going to have to strain. I'm not going to try to perform. I'm a son. Before I do one thing, He says, I'm well pleased with you. Amen. But because I love Him, I want to work for Him to release His kingdom, His will. You see, there's the covenant. My wife and I, by the grace of God, are going nowhere. But when I do something wrong or she does something wrong, saying sorry, just asking for forgiveness, is just an adjustment. It's that relationship. It's actually intimacy. You agree? Intimacy. Big difference. When you're repenting because you're scared that God's going to banish you from His house. Can I say this? Foundations, I'm sure, will be running soon again. You've got to get back to an understanding of the security of Christ Jesus. And I'm not saying that flippantly. I'm saying that this is a fundamental thing. We've got to understand our sonship. Because I'll say this, once we've understood it, the fear is dealt with. It's dealt with. It'll come, but it's rock solid in Jesus. Please turn to Philippians 4, please. Chapter 11. You know, when you open the Bible and you want to start dealing with fear, it's unbelievable. I think probably you need a year of just going through the Word of God. Could I say from the foundation that when we are baptized in intimacy and submerged daily, do you know, Rudy, you and me leak. Do you know that? As Christians, we leak. That's why Ephesians says, Paul says, keep on being filled. If it was a one-hit wonder, then the day when I met the Holy Spirit in England in 2000 at Nicky Gumbel's church, I met the Holy Spirit. So please, there's a prime example of an Anglican preacher filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a side joke. But anyway, the Spirit of God is powerful there. All right? If it was a one-hit wonder, would I have to be filled again? No. You see, legally, the Spirit of God lives within me. Experientially, I need to walk a journey, learn Him, know Him, grow in Him, submit to Him. Romans 8, submit to the Spirit. The mind submitted to the Spirit. I can tell you some days I submit to Him, some days I don't. Hey? I think we're all there. And that's this wonderful journey. But I leak. That means Paul says in Ephesians, keep coming back and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing infilling. And here, Isaiah chapter 11, an ongoing submersion in his presence. Do you know this? There is no fear in His presence. Do you know that? Do you know there's just joy? And this fullness of joy in your presence. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We want strength, well, we've got to get joy. Where do we get joy from? His presence. You see, when we live in His presence, we are filled with courage. We are filled with faith. We are filled with Him. Nothing else can fill you. Hey, Carol? Nothing else. But there's times when I have not singleness of heart and my heart starts to fracture a bit. And I say, oh, let's have a bit of that. Let's have a bit of that, a little bit. Next minute, I'm so confused. I'm so caught up. Why does Jesus say in John chapter 10, I am the true vine? Because let me tell you, there are many vines out there that want to feed you. There are many vines out there that want to nourish you and for you to take hold of them. But in the end, it leads to death. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Remain in me and you'll bear much fruit. Look at Philippians chapter 4. One of the things we wanted to speak about today was the fear of lack. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to please have Stephen,
yes.
Stand up please. I want you to read. Philippians chapter 4. Nice loud voice. Go from verses 10 to the end of verses 13, please. I want you to listen.
I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the rain you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in you, for I have been in whatever situation I am being content. I know how to be brought to law, and I know how to abound in any and every confusion. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Amen. Thank you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How did Paul get strengthened? Through intimacy with him, presence with him. It's amazing. Could I ask this question? As Western Church, Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment. Do you know contentment is something you may have got to learn? It doesn't come at salvation. Because you have a world of consuming, and you have Jesus who says, I am all that you need. I am the bread of life. Come to me. I know what you need. And Paul says, I've learned the secret to have plenty. And I've learned to be content when I've got nothing. Amazing. So here's the question around the fear of lack. Did Paul fear lack? Did it even come into his mind? Used to, master? Yeah? You see, what Rory's saying there is 100% correct. Paul says, I've learned. Learned means it's been a journey. Not, it's salvation, boom, thank you God, there's nothing I have to worry about. That's not true. In fact, if you read Paul's letters, there was many times when he was in great distress, he was in great fear of his very life, he was in great lack. But I take great encouragement from this, is that he's learned over time what it means to be content, with or without much. Because why? Paul was submerged and immersed in the presence of God. That is a journey. Amen. That's a journey. We spoke about Matthew 6 last week. I won't go on that one. But I'll say the only hard thing I want to highlight there is pagans run after what the Father knows you and me need. I want you to say that. Say that loud with me. Pagans run after what the Father knows we need. Are you ever going to ask God again for bread? You see, we either take God at His word. And if God has said this in Psalm 37, He says, David's writing, He says, I've been young and I've been old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken and their children. So, are you a child? Are you ever going to beg your dad for bread again? You see, if you're begging him for bread, you don't understand the scripture. Then in essence, when you're begging, you're not sure of his character. You're not sure if he's actually the God of all provision. That he's Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. And then I want to encourage you, we've got to go back with prayer. Work it out in the community. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to understand the character of God, because what happens is when we doubt his goodness, the enemy comes in. And he says, if God loved you, why do you not even have bread to put on your table? Psalm 23, we spoke last week. I want to start to finish off because I would like some activation and prayer with the deacons. We're going to pray. We're going to see and trust for the Spirit of God to move, to break fear, to break those chains that entangles us, that trips us up. God wants us to run free. And I'll say this prophetically as well. If we haven't learned to deal with the flats, God says, how are you going to deal with the thickets in the Jordan? You see, God wants to take us on to the promised land. Amen. We've got thickets. We've got those to deal with. But if we're stumbling in the safe place, if we're tripping on the plateaus, the Lord knows we won't make the Jordan. Therefore, he holds us back because of his goodness. You see, if we had to go there now, things could be a bit heavy. But God wants us to deal with things so we can go into the promised land. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Say that again, I shall not. Then why do you fear that God will not provide what you need? Hey, Bronwyn. Hey. Do we believe the word of God? Because the first thing the enemy came to Jesus was starting to throw scripture. If you are the Son, if you. How many times have you heard that in your mind? If you're really loved by God, if you're really born again, why is this happening? That word, if, you've got to deal with it. You've got to fight it. And the only way you do it, as I mentioned this morning, your flesh cannot put to death flesh. Okay? That sin that we're struggling with, that area of fear that you're struggling with, your flesh has no power to put to death flesh. It is through the Spirit, Romans says, we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. We need divine power to deal with a divine, call it, issue. And remember, what I mean by divine issue, consequence, look at Adam and Eve. That was one major perpetual problem when Adam and Eve sinned through the fall, through a deception, through Satan. We've got strong weapons. This is not about loading your 9mm Beretta or your bazooka. That's not going to deal with it. We need divine weapons to deal with strongholds that we can't see. The roots. God wants to plug strongholds out of our lives. And the only way that can happen is through divine weapons. And I just love that, because as I stand here and preach, here's the irony. Are you ready for the big irony? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Watch me come month end at Gravity at my company. In other words, I want you to see something, that I stand here and preach. Here's the good news. As much as I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself. Paul says this, and you've got to take your measurement on where we are in the spiritual walk. Paul says this, not that I've obtained all this. I press on. If that oak was still pressing on, I think you and me are still pressing on, hey? There's moments when I have no doubt the Lord is my shepherd. In fact, let me lie down for a while in this green pasture. He'll take care. And there's other moments where I'm phoning banks, stressing. So this is this wonderful walk of faith. Jesus says this. He says in when the disciples are in the boat, and he says, you of little. Do you know that word actually means you of your little faith that is growing? Encouraging. So they had a little mustard seed of faith. Not even a mustard seed, less than a mustard. And they were stressing. Hey, Lord Jesus, do you care that we're even going to drown? And he just gets up and he just says, you of little faith that is still growing. I don't know about you, but I put myself in that boat. Excuse the pun. I put myself there. My faith is growing. And do you know that the best environment to work your faith out is where? In a local community, a church. Because guys, if you did not have fear issues, you wouldn't be sitting here, would you? I wouldn't be frantically, excuse the pun there, all the joke, but I wouldn't be frantically searching the scriptures to make sure that I first believe and understand this. Because that's why the spirit of fear is prevalent in the world. We've got to fight it by guarding our minds and our hearts. I promise you now, when Jesus says perfect love drives out, let me tell you now, fear does not want to leave you very easily. It has to be driven out. You know, when Jesus came and made whips, he drove out the animals. He drove. Let me tell you, that wasn't, come boy, come. He didn't do that. He took a whip and he beat those animals out of there. That's what Jesus needs to do with fear in our lives. Don't be scared of it. Don't be scared of this thick darkness. It's in that thick darkness. You and me are transformed. We are set free. We are liberated. I want to finish on dealing with fear of rejection and its abandonment. It's just a bit of a testimony of what the Lord did in my life. Sorry? Sorry. Yes. Yes. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true. And I love what Sorry says there. And how do we overcome? Could I say this? Please. There's no shame and guilt or condemnation if you have fear come upon you. Okay? Because that's the enemy going for the mind. How do you deal with it? You see, Jesus never rebukes you for getting a thought in your mind. He says in Corinthians, he says, anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, deal with it. Amen. Jesus is saying it's going to come. Thoughts are going to come into your mind that are blasphemous, that are filthy, that are shocking. And God has said, it's trying to set itself up against the knowledge of God. Deal with it how? With carnal weapons? No. Divine weapons. Where do you go get your ammunition in divine weapons? Simple. Presence of God. Go back to the Lord, get in His presence, and allow God's love to dispel, to drive fear. Please understand, Satan's fear and God's love, it's not like they're in a boxing match. Maybe he's going to win, maybe you know he's going to win. There is no competition. There's nothing more stronger than love. But actually what it is God wanting us to build our faith, come into His presence, and allow His love to dispel the fear. Comes down again to intimacy and relationship. Finishing up on my story here. Somewhere along the line, a spirit of fear got into my life. I was in standard five. How old would you be in standard five? 12? 12-ish, thereabouts. And I tell you, I couldn't understand it. And I kept it hidden. And let me tell you something now. This is for free. Okay? The moment light comes onto something hidden, the power is broken. Confess your sin one to another. The moment light comes in, the power of darkness is dispelled. And here's the thing. All I encourage you is find someone you love, you trust and respect, and has confidence. I'm certainly not saying get the microphone and, you know, put it on Facebook. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying find someone you trust and respect. Confess, work it out, pray, and allow the power of God to break the power of darkness. Yeah. Darkness operates in secret, yeah. In sin, in darkness. The moment light comes on, that's why you can be in the blackest, blackest hole, and I light one match, do you know darkness has been dispelled? Yeah. Light is dominant because you now see it everywhere. Okay? That's simple, a little match, a flame of a match. And I tell you, I was living in this shame and I was living in this this guilt. And standard five, I used to have this fear start rising. And I used to count all the number of people leaving. And I start going, gee, there's 7 people left. 6 people. And then I see, oh, that's my mom's car. No, it's not. Damn. 5 people left. Do you know, because bless my dear mom, she had a habit of being very late. So, yeah, her concern and my concern were not on the same plateau. Do you know, if I was the last person left, do you know I used to run up and down? I used to run for 200-300 meters up and down. I would be screaming blue murder and fear because I was left alone. I was abandoned. Standard 5, 12, 13, does a 12-year-old do that? Is that normal? Crippled with fear if I was the last one left. I had a problem. And I remember just God started to work in my heart. And I wasn't even very God conscious at that time. But living under the sanctifying roof of my dad and mom, born again Christians, God started to work and deal with something that was unbeknown to me. And my wife and I, we had a sozo session a while ago. And the Holy Spirit brought to light where my spirit of fear and abandonment came in. God's love had to dispel it. God's love had to drive it out now. It would not want to leave me. And I tell you, the way God started to do it was horse riding. Can you believe it? I used to ride horses. Sorry for the horse, but you should have seen when I taught that horse how to jump. That was a joke. And I tell you, the Lord would start and I'd go kilometer out on my own, come back. Pluck up the courage, go out 2 kilometers, come back. God, over time, started to bring courage and confidence into me to be alone. I had no idea how deep-seated this was. And in the sozo session, the Lord took me back to a time when I got, at the age of 2, I got run over by a car in Durban. So what happened was, my mom thought I was with my grand thought I was with my mom, one of those perfect nightmare storms. So my mom goes off with Heather, my grand goes off with my brother, and there's me all on my own. Main street of Durban. Okay, 2 years of age. So I thought, okay, I see a Wimpy or a Milky Lane, off I go. And I walk. I don't know what happened, I was 2. I walked into the main street of Durban, and a Mercedes-Benz came and hit me. Boom. On my back. Don't know how fast the car was going, but apparently, you know, main street of Durban, it's going to be relatively quick. And the whole arching and serious brain damage took place. To cut a long story short, things were very touch and go in the hospital. And a Jewish doctor who was not a believer in Christ, after 3 days, came to my mom and said, I want you to know something. I have just witnessed a living miracle that this child has survived. Non-believer, eh? Anyway, I was deaf for 2.5 years, so I would have to learn to lip read without even knowing it. I just learned to lip read because, you know, from 2 to 5 is a very critical time of your language growth. So like the, fa, if you look at the mouth, there's no difference. And that's why I had major speech therapy issues because I couldn't get my the and fa right. But if you look at the mouth, it's identical. The problem, not the problem, but I had learned to become so reliant on my mom and I used to watch her mouth because no one knew I was deaf. Everyone thought I was just very naughty. And I learned to, so when my mom, now if you start to role play this, if I was left alone and my mother wasn't there at school, can you imagine the fear? What was going on? But this was unholy and not of God. God wanted to deal with this. So in that sozo session, when I found out actually where it came in, I was, for a moment, I was abandoned from my mother and from my gran. Totally harmless, totally innocent mistake. I was abandoned. And obviously tragedy happened. So I tell you now, when you hear of people who in the womb have had tragedy, in the womb, it's true. Tragedy happens even in the womb. But here's how faithful God is. And this is the power and the work of the ministry of the Spirit, is that He would take me back to 2 years of age and He would start to deal with that spirit of fear. Isn't it amazing? God's not governed by your time or my time. He can go back 400 billion years if He wants and deal with an issue there. He's a timeless, eternal God. And He dealt with it, and I was able to forgive. I was able to release. And I tell you now, I ask my wife. In fact, my biggest frustration is if I go into the bush and I'm with people. My greatest joy is sitting in the African bush on my own. Now, for me, that is a testimony of God's grace, of God's goodness, of how He's dealt with that issue. I've got other issues to deal with, but how He's dealt with that. And I know you'll have your own story if the fear of abandonment or the fear of rejection is a reality for you. You'll have your own story. But I want you to know tonight, the Holy Spirit has the power, and not only the power, He is willing and desires to set you and me free. And you may think, but Ian, I don't have a fear now. Here's interesting. Hey, something could have happened years ago that you can't put your finger on, but it keeps on tripping you up. God wants to heal. God wants to set free. Could I ask you to stand, please? Maybe if we could just, come a bit forward if we can. Let's bunch up together. You see, for me, this is not about trying to figure out necessarily what my fear is. Can I tell you what for me this is about? This is about falling in love with Jesus, being submerged in His presence, being filled with Him. Because I know this, when I'm filled with Him, there's going to be no space to have anything else fill me. And I'll say this as well, it's ongoing, it's not one-hit wonder. This is an ongoing thing of submission, getting filled with the Spirit. So, guys, come closer. I still feel there's a bit of a gap. I've got a fear of gaps. Yeah, let's move the table. So when I lived in London, mind the gap. That's where my fear started.
Mind the gap.
Yeah, that could have been very different. Yeah, I'm going to just, let's see what the Lord wants to do, hey? Do we trust? You've come here for a reason, amen? And the good news is we don't need to know the reasons, because that's not for us. This for me is God doing business with you. Daughter to father, father to daughter, son to father, father to son. Let's put out our hands. Let's wait upon the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're comfortable, just start to pray. This is not about, just start to pray in the Spirit if you're comfortable. If you're not sure yet on that, just trust God for a word. Trust God for a picture. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rabba Sindhara Bashindhara Tasoro. Sida Mana Sandarishi Tedekata Basoto. Thank you. Break the chains, Lord. It is for freedom's sake. Christ has set us free, Lord. Father, I just speak right now where there's fear of lack in this room, when there's an uncertainty that you'll provide bread tomorrow, that you'll provide water tomorrow. Father, we come to you. You are our Father. We will not chase what the pagans chase. You know we need it. And we say, Father, thank you that in your name we receive it right now. Father, deal with this area of lack, which is in essence, we are not understanding your character and your nature. You're a Father who has made a covenant to only do good to you and me. Oh, Father, this is in the face of Christ. What father would send his son to redeem lost people and then bring us into his family and then call us sons and daughters of the living God? Father, you're good. You are good. I pray right now, Father, where the enemy has come in and there's been like a sense of, the enemy come in saying, but why is God holding out on that one tree? No, Father, we just turn around and we say, Dad, thank you for every tree you've given us. You are a good dad. You're a good father. And you know best. And there's a reason why you've said no to that tree. There's a reason. And we're not going to doubt you. And when the enemy comes, we silence his voice in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lord, I just pray where there's just this thing of, Lord, why are you holding out on marriage? And I'm single. God, in the name of Jesus, this is something that I see around many churches. Oh, Lord God, the truth is, I said the very same thing. I said, Lord, why are you holding out? So, Father, we come to you. Just let the Holy Spirit minister now. He wants to move. He wants to touch. Deal with this spirit of orphaned rejection. Father, where we think marriage is what completes us. No, no. Jesus, your love completes us. That's what completes us. The world would tell us otherwise. No, we're sons and daughters of a Father. And the truth is, we have a groom who is coming. Father, right now, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. I want to pray even now. Even for next week. Father, where we're dealing with this thing of death. This crippling fear of death. Not only physical death. Death of dreams. Death of marriage. Death of business. Death of many things. Lord God, this crippling fear that keeps us up at night. Lord God, will you come and break it? Because you are the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection life is not an end. It's a person who's ever present right now over our lives. Just want to lay hands on some people. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Father. Your fire. Your presence, Lord. Fill in the name of Jesus. Fill in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, do you feel His presence here? Holy Spirit is here. Just keep praying, guys. See, it's in His presence, fear breaks. It's in His presence, courage rises, boldness. Oh, Lord. Father, we thank you for this thick darkness, this cloud, what looks so scary. Actually, this is a glorious cloud of your presence. We stand in it. We say, Father, we are transformed in your presence. We're transformed as we behold the face of Jesus Christ. We are transformed into his likeness and into his image with ever increasing glory. I thank you, Lord God. The ministry of Moses was a glory that was fading. The ministry of Christ is a glory that never ends. And we live in that glory. And we're transformed every day. By your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We behold your glory. We behold it. If you're bold, I feel this is for someone. I feel that you want to pray publicly. God is dealing with this issue of fear, and you believe your breakthrough is coming, but almost as a sense of fear of man, God wants you to deal with very quickly. And I want to encourage you. Step out and pray, and we're going to agree with you. Guys, if we can't get this on the plateau in the safe country, we ain't going to get it in the Jordan. I feel someone just needs to step out and courage. Let's pray, guys. Thank you, Lord. Family. Thank you for family. Thank you for family. Rabasinda shete. Sota rabashita kosete. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Fire. Anointing. Your presence. Courage. Fire. Presence. Your anointing, Lord. Presence, Lord. Presence, Lord. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You're dealing with fear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That which is entangling us, you break it off by the power of your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit. Where you feared man's opinion, you feared man's thoughts of you, you feared people's opinions and whether they approve of you or not approve of you. I just feel I want to pray for someone around. Who's that? That you fear man and what their thoughts over you are more crippling than you realize. You? Who else? Please come forward. Thank you. Katie, can you come pray with me? Hilton, can you come and pray? Guys, everyone, this is not about, this is everyone laying hands. This is we want to do business with God. Amen. We want to break it. That's why we've come. And there's only one person who can break it, and that's Jesus. Let's just start to pray in the Spirit. Tarabashinda. Sorobasanda rekeshiti. Orobasatarakera. Thank you, Lord. Break it in the name of Jesus right now. We break it. The only way we break it is with the love of the Father. Let the love dispel. Let it drive out fear with a whip. Let it leave this daughters of yours mind right now. Let it leave right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's it. That's it. Let Jesus drive it out with a whip. Let him throw that fear of man right out in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Allow him to do what only he can do. He's the one that does the driving out. And the way he drives out is he drives out with his love. Oh, the love of who? What can separate, Carol? What can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus? Oh, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present or the future. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is a love that can never be separated right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, drive fear out right now. The fear of man, the fear of that opinion, that fear of approval, that fear of having to please, that fear of just inwardly dying but yet running around just trying to we break it in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Thank you, Lord. Let the love of the Father just overshadow right now. Oh, Lord. Oh, feel the peace of God. Feel the peace. And Lord God, as the spirit of fear would try to come back, we put up that shield of faith and we break it again right now in the name of Jesus. The only way we break it is we are immersed in the presence of the Father, where we feel His love, we feel His tenderness towards. Just want to pray that you ladies, just the tenderness of God, the tenderness of God. Holy Spirit, right now, that's it, Brahman. Let the Spirit of God, as the Holy Spirit took me back years until the age of 2, I had no clue what was bound me. The Spirit of God had to take, go back and do business. Right now, Jesus, if there's areas in our lives that through pain and hurt we've actually covered over and we've just covered over it and we've just kind of like got on with life, but we know we haven't dealt with it and it's a place we don't want to go, but Holy Spirit, we know you want to go there and you want to set your daughters free so they can run in your power, they can run in your grace, and they can worship you unhindered. Nothing stopping them. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of you, Jesus. Oh, Shandarabasandakoshede. Yes. Oh, Lord. Let's keep praying, guys. Let's just keep praying. Wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Just feel, ladies, that areas where maybe you've just put up guards, you don't want to go there. It's too painful. Man is hurt. The Lord understands. The Lord knows where man is hurt. Words have penetrated. Words have pierced. Every word the Lord has seen and the Lord knows. But we come to Him, the doctor. We come to Him, the author. We come to Him who can go back to words said that we don't even remember. He can go back and say, no, no, you are my daughter. I died for you. Trust me, if you were not valuable, would He have died? You're so valuable, so precious, that He laid His life down and said, I want my daughters to run free, and I will break the power of Satan, who had the power of death, who lived and operated in fear upon humanity. He's Jesus, Hebrews says, He came and He took back that power and He broke him who had the power of death. He broke him on the cross. He disarmed him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you, ladies. Colossians says there's no guilt, there's no accusation, there's no blemish that can be brought against you. Amen. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep our hands up. This is beautiful, hey? This is just God doing what God loves to do. God came to set the captives free. Jesus loves to smash chains. He loves it. Oh, He loves to see people liberated, to run free. Oh, Basandera Shed. I have the picture of that dove that came upon Jesus. The encouragement is, let's create an atmosphere where that dove can settle. That dove is not hurried off. It's not flustered. Just this environment here. Who senses God's presence here? Okay? Can I ask you this question? Is there one sense of fear right now? Okay. Do you know this is your rightful inheritance to live in this every moment of the day? But what happens when singleness of heart starts to become double, triple, quadruple? What happens? Other things come in. So, Father, I pray, so I just close the meeting now. As I close the meeting, well, actually, Katie, come and share first, sorry. And just one thing, if there's any other pictures and words, guys, this is a team. This is team. You have a picture, you have a word, we want to share and just see what God wants to do. Amen. Go for it.
Just on the sphere of man thing, I feel that you just need to hear that we were never created to be all things to all people. Mm. We put a huge pressure on ourselves and other Amen. People put a pressure on us. But we're not enough. Because we can't possibly be everything to our husband, to our kids, to our work colleagues, to our everyone in our lives. We can't be all things. And if anyone has that expectation of you, it's an ungodly expectation. Okay? So firstly, their understanding of who you should be needs to be reshaped. You're not God in their lives.
Amen.
So set yourself free of being.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yes. Spending time with people. We're living in a very tough world, in a world where it's demanding
in presence.
So we've got to make sure
the presence of God.
Our relationship with the Lord goes first, and our relationship with
Jesus.
Our
fill this man.
And those big rocks need
fresh fire. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Robas satakashita. Yes, amen. New level of wisdom, new level of knowledge, a new level of discernment, Lord. A new level of faith and courage to see the bigness of God. Oh, amen. Amen.
The other thing is that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but men and women are not that great at that, and they'll make you feel guilty and painful. That's when you really have to stand on that, because you are going to let them down. Every time you do it, and I do the same, you know, and I feel sorry when something's happened.
Yeah,
precious.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Lord.
Man will make us feel that way. Yeah. That's the lie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, and even pray to him, it's help me with the situation. I've let this person down. How can I make right? And once it's dealt with, move forward. We don't live in that place.
Yeah. Wonderful. Go for it, Hilton.
Yeah, as we were praying, I had this picture of 16th century, very artistic play, where in the 16th century, before the kings and the queens, they used to put the prisoners that were jailed for the heinous crimes behind masks, so that the people in the crowd didn't know who they were, so they would retaliate and start to attack them. And as we were praying, I felt like the Lord saying that tonight was a night where we would take masks off, not that we were criminals of heinous crimes, but that we would not be fearful of the crowd. And in the spirit, I saw that the crowd would represent man, and that we could stand boldly before the king without a face mask on and show our full identity before public, before man, in everything that God's made us to be, in our full identity, and say, Lord, you've made me like this. I don't have to wear a mask on a day like the Monday. I don't have to wear a mask on a Friday.
Yes, Lord.
I am who I am before you.
Yes, Lord. Beautiful. Stephen?
Yes.
What do you want? What's the Lord saying to you? Thank you, Lord. Samantha? He's good. Amen. He's made a covenant. I want you to read the scripture. I think that scripture that was read this evening, Jeremiah 32, I think it's for all of us, but I think for one or two here where you've doubted the goodness of God, he's cut covenant. It's irreversible. By his own, remember, his throne is built on two things, righteousness and justice. If God broke his covenant, he could no longer be God. He could no longer be righteous, just. He cannot break his own covenant. He remains faithful. And he says, I'll continue to do good to you. Father, thank you for this evening. Just again, the treasure of your presence. Who are we that the living creator of heaven and earth would be here with us? Ah, but who are we? But we are very important and we're very special because you sent your Son for us. We are of great worth in your sight. We are your sons and daughters. We are in your family. We have a father. That position is so secure. No one can break that position. Let me say this. I feel to say this strongly. If God would break his... Are you ready for this? If God could break the position of sonship to him, to each other, us to God, he would have to break it with his Son. Is that possible? Jesus says, I am not ashamed to call you my older brothers. It can never be broken, that sonship. Oh, guys, when we understand that, when we understand who we are, We have an identity realignment with the kingdom. Romans 12, the mind is transformed, the mind is renewed. Then you will test and approve God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for faith. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for setting us free, for liberating us. In your mighty name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.